Davis is a professor of geology at Hartwick College and a columnist in Hudson Catskill newspapers. He's going to lead an exploratory walk to uncover the geological history at the Greenport Conservation Area under the sponsorship of the Columbia Land Conservancy. That is this Saturday at 2 p.m. Hello, Bob.
There you are.
Are you there now, Bob?
I am.
Hello, Bob. Welcome to the Tuesday Afternoon Show.
Thanks for having me.
So, where shall we begin? You're going to lead this tour.
I'm going to take the people who come along to the bottom of an ice age lake. And we're going to actually walk around on the bottom of a lake, if you imagine such a thing.
Now, is this the same ice age lake that covered a lot of the area?
Yes. It's called Glacial Lake Albany. It extended over 100 miles from New York City to north, well north of Hudson. It was about 10 miles wide, if you can imagine such a thing. And when you get to the Greenport Conservancy landscape, you're going to see a very gentle slope off to the west. And where you park your car, you're on the shoreline of the lake. And as you gaze off to the west, you're looking into the deepest waters of the lake.
It makes it sound like the lake actually crossed the Hudson River?
It submerged the whole Hudson Valley, 10 miles across. Can you just think about that? It would have been analogous to Lake Champlain.
And when did that disappear?
Oh, about 13,000 years ago.
Long time ago, then.
No, that's hardly any time at all. You're talking to a geologist, lady.
Just to introduce everyone here, Bob, I'm here with Ann Forbes Cooper and Tom Rowe.
Hi.
Hi there, Bob.
Hello.
We're delighted to have you with us.
Well, I'm awfully happy to be here.
So, Bob, is there a good chance that lake reappears when global warming in a couple of years?
Well, that's not very likely. The lake was, it's a little hard to explain, but just to the north of Hudson, there still was a glacier. And it was very thick and very heavy, and it pressed down on the crust. And it pressed on the crust that the crust was depressed, and that's what made the lake basin. And when the glacier melted away, the lake drained into the Atlantic Ocean. There's not much chance there'll ever be a big lake like that there again.
And what sort of mineral deposits are there?
Well, we're not going to be able to see the lake deposits. There are no exposures. But if we could dig a hole in the ground, we would find probably 50 or 60 feet of what you would call mud. I would call silt and clay. Lake deposits are there. And I'll make a big point of waving my arms at the landscape and explaining that this is the flat bottom of a lake and that we really are walking across the bottom of a lake.
Sounds fascinating. And how many people can you take on one of these tours?
Well, that'll be up to the Columbia Conservancy. It'll be up to them to decide. I will take as many as show up. They do ask that there's a registration, and you need to call them and register. And if you want, I can give you the phone number for that.
We have that here, actually. It's 392-5252.
That's right, extension 210. And they haven't told me if there's any limits. It's all their fault if you can't get in.
And how long have you been doing this?
My wife and I are going to have a book out next year on the Ice Age history of the Hudson Valley.
Oh.
And she and I have been researching it over the course of the last 5 years or so. And we've been up and down the Hudson Valley looking at very extensive evidence of the ice, of the glaciers that once came down the valley and retreated away from the valley. And so I've been doing this a long time. We've been doing this a long time.
When you say the very extensive evidence, what does that evidence
look like? Well, it's a lot. Think of it. You've got to imagine there was a glacier that was spread out across the whole of the Hudson Valley and descended all the way to Long Island, all the way to New York City, and then melted back. Well, glaciers are bigger than 600-pound gorillas. They have an enormous effect upon the landscape. They bulldoze their way forward. They scrape up all sorts of sediment, and then they leave great heaps of sediment behind as they retreat back to the north. And if you know what to look for, you can drive up and down the Hudson Valley and see just all sorts of evidence of the Ice Age. It really was only 13,000 years ago, which is a very brief period of time for geology.
And that's one ice mass, this glacier reaching.
That was the Hudson Valley Glacier, and it got worse because something called the Laurentide Glacier covered all of North America. The Hudson Valley Glacier came down the valley first, and it was followed by an ice sheet that spread out across all of New England and then, of course, across all of North America. It turned North America into something that you would easily confuse with Antarctica.
So is that, I guess that's why I live in Greene County and mow a large lawn, and people say that we grow rocks in the dirt here.
Yes.
And so that's why there was a great glacier, not just over the Hudson River, but you're saying all over Greene County. So it's scraped up, and so we're near the rock.
Yes, almost every rock that you encounter and curse at when you're trying to do something with your land was carried to where it is by the advance of the ice.
So these are rocks from Canada that we should be upset about.
Sometimes they're from Canada. A lot of the times I can identify rocks as having come from the Adirondacks.
And how long did that process take, I mean, for this glacier to keep extending down?
Yeah, well, late at night in geology bars, we debate that sort of thing.
Geology bars?
Late at night in geology bars.
There's a good one in Greenville.
Yeah, there's a lot. They're all over the place. It's a little hard to answer your question, but about 25,000 years ago, the glaciers began to spread across New York State. By 18,000 years ago, they had reached New York City. And then they began to retreat, so that by 13,000 years ago, they were clearing the Hudson Valley.
Bob, way back then, what sort of creatures might have roamed up and down?
Real easy to answer, none.
Okay.
you're going to have 2,000 or 3,000 feet of ice covering, and maybe even more, covering this area. Nobody lived here. But following the retreat of the ice came the animals that you probably are familiar with, the mastodons, the mammoths, the saber-toothed tigers, the giant beavers, and a host of creatures that we call Ice Age animals. They would have followed the glaciers north, however, and they certainly didn't live here when there were glaciers.
Right. And has there been any remains found of these creatures?
Oh, yeah. They had a lovely skeleton of a mastodon found in Hyde Park, about 7 or 8 years ago.
Ah.
Yeah, they had a big excavation, and they recovered almost the whole skeleton. The first mastodon that was ever discovered, I mean, the first one, serial number one, was found in your town of Hudson in, I think it was the year 1603. By a Dutch settler. He found a 5-pound tooth, and he didn't know what it was. He couldn't look it up. He couldn't run an internet search on mastodon and see what it is. He had no idea of such a creature, and in the banks of the Hudson River, in Hudson, he found a huge tooth. Well, you can imagine how startled he was, how puzzled he was. It made quite a stir. The tooth was sent back to England, and even at the Royal Society in England, they couldn't figure out what the tooth was. They had no idea. It was the first mastodon tooth ever discovered.
Wasn't mistaken as a whale tooth at the time?
Actually, the tooth that I'm talking about looks a lot like a human tooth. And being it was a very fundamentalist time, they went to the Bible and said there were giants in those days. They said, this must be one of the giants that they mentioned in the Bible. Well, they didn't know anything about mastodon. Later on, they would find whole skeletons, and they would be able to identify the tooth for what it was.
Is this in the British Museum or something like that?
It's been lost. It's probably sitting on a shelf in the British Museum, but the label, no doubt, was separated
from it.
It's been lost? Yeah.
That thing from Indiana Jones.
But I would like your listeners to remember that the first mastodon ever discovered was right there in Hudson. That's a distinction.
That is, yes.
Who knew?
Now you know.
Are we likely to find any more? I mean, if we go outside and start digging up the park across the road, will we find any more?
Yes, they turn up periodically. Every couple of years, they find a bright, shiny new skeleton of a mastodon. they're really quite frequent. In the 1790s, down in Orange County, the farmers routinely would find the tusk of mastodons. And it was only, I think 2 or 3 years ago, they found the most recent skeleton down there. It's not an unusual occurrence for this kind of discovery. There were a lot of mastodons living here back in those days.
What was the climate like when the mastodons were around in this area?
Well, it would have reminded you of Canada today. It would have been cool and compared to the climate that we enjoy. And just cooler, just Canada. In one word, Canada.
So a day like today is a little too hot for a mastodon.
I wouldn't know. I've never met one.
What would they have eaten?
That's something that's debated, but a lot of people think that they browsed upon the vegetation of low-lying trees, and they reached up into the foliage of trees and ate the vegetation.
So they were vegetarians.
Oh, indeed. That was quite a controversy, too, because the first teeth that were discovered, people looked at them and said, these must have been predators. They looked like the two teeth of carnivores. And they knew they had an elephant by then and knew how big the animal was, and they began to think, holy moly, if this thing was running around eating other animals, it must have been quite the predator. They were wrong. They got it wrong. These were vegetarians.
So I'm just reading a bit about your background, and you didn't start off here. You started off in Black River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you to the Catskills?
Well, I was I'm a paleontologist by training, and I spent 25 years doing professional research in paleontology. I studied the fossil record of evolution in Ordovician age rocks. Those are rocks about 450 million years old. 20 years ago this summer, I began writing for Catskill Life magazine, popular geology columns. And I branched out. I write for the Register Star and the Woodstock Times. And I'm a geology columnist, which is a kind of an unusual trade.
So, that was what brought you here? To write for all these wonderful newspapers that we have here and magazines?
Of course, Catskill Life magazine focuses on Catskills. I approached them and I said, maybe you'd like to have somebody writing about Catskill geology. They were very enthused about it. And they put me on the team, and I've been in every issue since 1991. Subsequently,
wow.
The Woodstock Times contacted me, and they thought I might like to write for them. And then I applied to the Register Star chain, and they were very happy to take me on. I used to work for the Independent in Columbia County, too.
And what surprises you most about the geology in the Catskills since you've been here, I guess?
Well, honestly, I'm going to answer your question kind of in a way you won't expect. Nothing just surprises me. The Catskills, like every other part of the planet Earth, has a rich, interesting, fascinating geological history. And I could go to hundreds and maybe thousands of localities and write as many interesting articles as I do here in the Catskills. The point I'm making is that the fossil record, the rock record, is a rich history of our Earth's history, of its geological heritage. And so what surprises me is nothing. It's just exactly what I would have expected to find had I not known ahead of time. It's got a wonderful rock record. By the way, on our trip on Saturday, we're going to end up at something called the Normanskill Shale. It's a black shale. It is 450 million years old. It's going to take us to the bottom of a very deep ocean. We're going to go down to 20,000 feet to the bottom of an abyss. I'm going to take our travelers to the bottom of an ocean, and we're going to see the sediments that accumulate at the bottom of the deepest parts of the oceans of the planet Earth. That's typical. It's not the least bit unusual for a geologist to find things of that sort.
I had one final question, Bob. In Greene County, is the Marcellus Shale in Greene County, is there a natural gas in Greene County? Is this whole hydrofracking discussion relevant to Greene County?
At least the eastern half of Greene County, probably not. And what happened was when the Appalachian Mountains were being uplifted, the black shales, the Marcellus shales of our part of the woods were cooked. And quite literally, the natural gas was baked out of those rocks.
Hmm.
It won't surprise me if the whole eastern half of Greene County and the whole eastern half of Ulster County will never be subject to development for natural gas.
And the western part, the current proposal on the table is to leave it out of the National Park area.
The New York State Park. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Does that keep it out of drilling out of Greene County, or are there still parts that aren't in the park?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I rather expect that you're going to see a lot more exploitation of the gas in Schoharie and Otsego and Delaware County. And I think you're going to find there's a lot of people in those vicinities buying up leases right now. I've never heard of any leases being sold here in Greene County, although I couldn't swear to you that it never happened.
What's your own view of hydraulic fracking?
I'm hoping that they can pull it off. I'm a geologist. We're in the business of bringing you energy, and we're very frightened that we won't be able to bring you enough. I like to draw an analogy to dam concerned people at Gilboa. Are you familiar with them?
No, who are they?
Well, it's a little bit of a story, but about 10 years ago, they began to realize that the Gilboa Dam, which was 80 years old, was about to collapse. And if it collapsed, about 8,000 people might be subject to being drowned. And they were very alarmed. But the people of that region knew that it was important for Gilboa to provide water to New York City. So they didn't lobby to have the reservoir closed and shut down. They lobbied to have the reservoir, the dam, rebuilt and rebuilt properly. And I argue that people who are fearful of hydrofracking, instead of opposing it, they should demand that it's done properly. And they should do their homework and find out what that involves. That's what happened at Gilboa. The dam has been rebuilt. The dam appears to be safe. And it's because the people of the area who had the most to lose got together and made sure it was done right.
So as always, it's audience participation is the key here. People participation. People should get involved in what's happening in their own community.
The people who at Gilboa really got involved. They did their homework. They learned everything there was to know about dams. And when New York City started rebuilding that dam, they were right there making sure it was done right. Mm. And you know what? It was the best thing for New York City at the same time.
Yeah. So you mentioned you had a book coming out next year.
Yes. My wife, Johanna, and I have written a book about the Hudson Valley during the Ice Age. And it's for the average reader. And the chapters of the book will take people to many locations, including Hudson, and guide them in seeing what the Ice Age record was in the Hudson Valley. It's a wonderful story. And it'll be published by Black Dome Press, and I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hoping before Christmas.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being here, Bob.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.